back to the programme, business futurist Maurice Misolowski, who's in Melbourne. And today he's going to tell us how the first nation in space has officially left the room. Is that true, Maurice? Good day, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great, especially after, what, getting real?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're too far.
Well, I mean, the story...
There is truth. I mean, this has happened. We will discuss whether it was worthwhile it happening.
Tell us,
this is
tell us
a company called Asgardia. Asgardia.
Okay.
And you can look them up, and they have done what they claim. So this is a space kingdom. This is a gentleman. He's supposedly well-credentialed. I mean, I've looked him up some time ago and again this morning. Well-credentialed, has written lots of credible scientific papers. It'll sound like a crackpot when we finish this discussion. But what he has done is put together a space nation, the first one ever. This is the equivalent of a China or Australia or America. It is a nation. It has its own constitution. It has a flag. It has an anthem. It has all of the things that are required. It also has embassies. Strangely enough, it has all of the elements that traditionally make up a nation. The only thing is it doesn't have land, and it doesn't want to have land, because what he says is he wants to have a nation in space, not made up of physical people necessarily. So he's not taking you and I up there.
It's not a planet thing, is it?
No, it's not. But what he wants to do, and this is why it's kind of interesting, because there's actually a few people talking about doing the same thing, is what he says is he wants to put all of the world's knowledge, all of the world's thinking and systems, so this is everything that theoretically belongs to everybody on the planet, regardless of who they are, their race or their creed or their money, and for that collective wisdom to sit in space and be available to everybody, so it no longer is dominated by land, by boundaries, by race, by religion. In other words, this is a totally democratic space that contains all the some knowledge of the world, and it's for everybody to use.
Now, the hook is just about to come, isn't it, Maurice?
Well, I don't know. It's utopian, and it has its purpose, I think, is really a conversation point. I really don't know what its physical manifestation. I mean, apart from it being a satellite, I should have said this thing is actually the size of a milk bottle, and it has been put into space. So it's a satellite that's going around. All it is really just a whole lot of electronics the size of this milk carton, which is not unusual because we actually have a lot of satellites up in space that are no bigger than that. It's incredible what they can fit into that space. And what also is up there is the 300,000 people that have signed up online to become citizens of this place.
Okay.
And if you think it's just other mad people, there are 564 Hong Kong people that signed up to be citizens and 33 from Macau.
I'm really not surprised, Maurice. Not at all. Listen, I bet he played a bit too much Dungeons and Dragons when he was a kid. Not exactly in theory, because as you say, this is a real thing. But when it comes to this kind of stuff for real, squillions of years in advance, would there be one or two things that, you know, that thing about writing upside down with the biro and the pencil and stuff? Is there something that's like, dope, we didn't think of that?
Look, I actually think it's a really interesting experiment. I don't expect anything to come of it. The world's not going to change. I don't think we're going to be ruled by this kingdom. But I think it's an interesting space that we've come to, space pun intended, space we've come to, where we're trying to collect all of the wisdom of the planet, which in itself is impossible. We accept that. But it's a noble cause. And we're trying to democratize it. So what we're saying is it's available to everybody. Well, Google made us the same promise on this earth when it first started. And of course, even though we all have access to it, we know who truly owns it. So it's still this quest for humans to have ready access without anybody interfering, and for them to be able to use the knowledge or the wisdom or whatever you want to call it for their own purposes. I kind of like that. Yeah, this is science fiction-y. It's one man's quest that most probably is nothing more than a frivolous attempt, although it would have cost him a bit of dosh. It doesn't talk how much, but these satellites don't come cheap. It would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars for him to get up
like
there.
Like a private satellite, yeah?
Yeah, and as far as we know, I've not been able to find that he's looked for other people to spend. It doesn't seem to be, you know, the collusion that he's taken money from people. It just seems to be his money, his attempt to come up with this Asgardia, which, of course, nevertheless, he's the president of.
What do you know? It sounds a bit like The Sims in space. I can't quite get my I can't get my head around it quite yet.
You can't. And look, he has the audacity. He's actually been sending letters off as the president of this newest nation on the planet to all kinds of prime ministers, presidents, and other people, including the Chinese, the Australians, and everybody else. So, look, this guy is and he's not, who knows, but we may call him delusional, we may say he's got grandeur on his side. Let's put all that to a side, I don't know him, let's assume he only intends the best. I do like, as I've said, the notion of it. It's a bit crazy.
There's one flaw with it, though, because obviously, you know, if you want to think this through, it should be a harmonious place, if you like, but he's off to a blinder to start with, because he's elected himself.
Well, who else would you elect?
No, I know, but I mean, look at the world now. Despotic people elect themselves, so I'm sure he isn't. But if we're talking civilizations here, we have a self-elected president. That's not a good start, is it?
It isn't. But in his defense, and I'm not actually defending him, I'm just this is what he's done, is that you can actually go online now, and it's interesting if you want to take it further to have a look at what it is there. You can nominate yourself, or you can have other people vote for you. So at the moment, there are elections being held around the world. You first become a citizen, which is free, and you get a little certificate, and then from that certificate you can then put yourself up for political office to become one of the embassies or one of the people that are looking after the physical space on Earth as a representative of Asgardia back into space. So he intends to put a democratic face to this thing and to have the people that are citizens voting online, which is another interesting thing. I mean, all these things are really forerunners of what I think we'll have over the next 10, 15, 20 years in land-based nations, to have these citizens vote on all of the usual things citizens vote on. And he's actually knocked on the door of the UN as well. Hmm. He said, now that we've been recognised as a country, we want to be a part of the UN.
You want to look at this. It's spelled Asgardia. And I'm sure I was about to say to you, where should I go? I can do it now. Have they got a Facebook page?
It's got everything. I mean, it's got the whole thing. And you have to listen to the anthem. I cannot make out what it says. It's in English, but it has this wonderful raring, you know, roaring anthem somebody's produced. And there are all kinds of things. There's a flag there. As I said, well worth a visit. Yeah, we could sit there and chuckle. And we may not want to go to this planet. Of course, I don't know how we squeeze into this milk carton size anyway if we wanted to. But I do think it's interesting. It also is interesting because it's pointing towards space. And I know we've always looked up ever since we've been on this Earth and looking towards space. But there is so much activity going on in trying to get us beyond this planet now that this is just literally one of many supposedly crazy schemes that lots of people are putting money into. In fact, 2 years ago, there was no venture capital money being put into any space tech whatsoever. Mm. Zero. And within the space of the last 2 years, it's gone to $4 billion, with a B, $4 billion worth of serious venture capital money going into this space. And that's devoid of SpaceX. I'm not talking about Elon and his mates. I'm talking about crazy, quirky stuff on the other side with serious money being attached to it.
It's interesting, this. Let's look at some of the things that human beings, as we know ourselves, absolutely have to have. And one of them has got to be natural light, hasn't it?
Well, of course it does, absolutely. And that's one of the things we're looking for. But you know, I was talking to, I did a keynote to a group of Australia's leading mining companies, all of the big names that we know. And one of the things that I spoke to them about, and they had played with, I mean, none of them seriously looked at, was that it's fairly obvious that within the next couple of decades we'll be mining asteroids. Well, nobody yet has figured out how to do it or why to do it, but it's obvious to me that they will do it. And it becomes a question of who owns those asteroids, because at this stage nobody does. Who has the rights to be able to mine on them? Who do you have to pay royalties to? What happens to all the things we want about environment? You know, what's the environment of space? And then what do you do with these things? Because the thought actually is, strangely enough, that many of the thoughts are that we don't actually bring it back to Earth at all. What we use it for is resources for our space exploration, like Star Trek.
There's two possibilities here, Morris, with mining asteroids. One of them is it's a great big disappointment, and there's absolutely nothing there. The other one is it could fix a lot of the world's woes.
Well, it could, but do we then cause damage externally?
Yeah, really.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but we have to ask those kind of questions, because we should be asking, we should have been asking them a long time ago for what we've done on Earth. But we actually do know that there are minerals in the asteroids that we could use. We also know, or it's been discovered, there are minerals on some of the asteroids that we don't yet know about that might be really interesting for us to use. So we haven't even begun to explore those, but it's absolutely for sure that in the next couple of decades somebody's going to do that, and we will start mining. So we started with Asgardia and this kind of milk bottle of knowledge being sent into space. We go to that, and then Elon Musk over the last couple of years has said that he's determined that he will have a colony on Mars, And part of the reason, or what he cites as one of the reasons for that, is a humanitarian reason, that he wants humans 2.0, because he believes deep dark secret is that we at some stage will blow ourselves up and there'll be another version of us sitting up in space ready to go.
Well, also, Morris, if somewhere down the line Mars is habitable or some other planet is, humans will have conquered something that's been bugging them for years and they'll implode because they've got nothing else to aspire to.
Well, we'll always have something. We'll go to the next planet.
Next one along.
The reality is, Bill, that we know that none of these planets are inhabitable. We will have to manufacture something to make them inhabitable. So we will have to put some kind of a dwelling, some kind of a physical activity, some kind of a physical being on those planets for us to live in. And I know that they're a bigger world questions that we need to answer and ask, and yes, we should. But this has always been part of humanity, looking up, as we said, wondering what's out there. The other thing that I'm certain of within the next two decades is that we will have space tourism. Absolutely have space tourism. In fact, we will have hotels orbiting the Earth within about 20 years, if not sooner.
Well, you heard it here.
It's another really interesting space. I've talked about this as well with some of my hospitality clients going back many years. So this is not new. We've just been waiting for technology to get cheap enough, fast enough for consumers to want it. But Elon, again, our friend, has said that he will have, Branson and Virgin. They've both said that within the next 5 years, closer than that, but within the next 5 years, they will both take regular visitors into space and bring them back.
And what will they do when they get there?
Say hello, wave, and get an ooh and ah, get their phones out, take a selfie. What can you do? You can't get out and go for a walk, so all that might come in time. But it's mostly the doing of it. So it's the free fall, I would assume. It's being able to see the Earth's curvature. It's bragging rights. It's photo rights. It's something interesting to do. Look, for, honestly, if I could afford it, I think I might.
Oh, you would, yeah, absolutely you would. I'm interested in this thing about the sort of human side of it, where we spend our lives striving to find or discover something, and then when we do, it's a bit of a fizzer. I mean, some people think that they've solved finally the case of Jack the Ripper, which would probably be very easy to solve these days. I mean, a bloke in a top hat. But with all our DNA stuff, the JFK stuff is coming out. So these are quests that the conspiracy theorists thrive on. Then we find out that JFK was murdered by X, Y, or Z, and it's nice. No fun anymore, because we can't guess.
Yeah. But I actually think that's what a futurist is. I think it's actually what all humans are. I've believed for a very long time that the thing that keeps us going in the morning is this notion of the future, that there's something yet to be discovered, there's something different ahead of us than what we know. It's kind of like, you know, living that Groundhog Day when you're stuck in a rut and all you can do is the same work day in, day out, or the same activity. We all get stuck in that rut, we just have to get through it. Life just becomes so insular and meaningless for those few days. It's the same notion that we love this thought that over the horizon is something yet to be discovered that's going to change us and make us markedly different to who or what we are now.
It takes us to a very logical place now, Morris. What's the chat amongst futurists, if you like, about extraterrestrial life?
Now there's actually been a lot of new chatter around this because we've had some really interesting luminaries talk about this. The most of the chatter is that as we know it, as humans are looking for it, this is my belief anyway, as we're looking for it, it doesn't exist. Meaning that I don't know, but I'm assuming that there aren't or there isn't another human-esque type animals out there.
Unless those film clips from Roswell are, you know, etc.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's absolutely. But to me, I think that there is life out there. It's just not life as we know it. I mean, it might be some cellular activity. I don't think it's a Star Trek, Star Wars type life. But I just can't believe that there isn't something even at the smallest cellular level, which is where I think it most probably is. So that's my thinking of it. And it seems to be where most people are coming from now, that it's not this human-esque type activity. All these messages we keep sending out really will never be heard by anybody else. George Orwell did a wonderful piece convincing us that there were people out there and they were going to invade us.
I'll tell you what, Morris, there's a cracking film from 2005 and it's called Alien Autopsy. Have you seen it?
No.
It's kind of a comedy. It's a British comedy, but it's basically that film that we've all seen, that black and white film of the autopsy. Whether it was true or not, we don't know. But the premise here is that these guys blagged it in their kitchen. And they just made this whole thing up, and it suddenly became, you know, your zeitgeist person's best piece of film. The film itself, Morris, Alien Autopsy, give it a crack. It's very funny.
I'll look at it.
Yeah.
And For all of humanity, we've wanted this. You know, we said Stonehenge was this. We said the pyramids was all about aliens. We have to look back in history for things that were incredible, things we couldn't figure out how we'd done, and we've blamed aliens.
What about all those Aztec cave paintings and stuff where they've got digital watches or whatever?
Yeah, and we've seen lots of those, and we've seen, again, Aboriginal Australia, we've seen it in most of the Indigenous art, that there's something in the sky that just isn't, it's not explainable for the time and the people and what we thought they would have known about. How can you explain something we don't know anything about? But it's interesting to put today's spin on it. What will they say about 100 or 200 years from now? They'll have a completely different view of what those objects are.
Well, this is very interesting because there are lots of extremely credible accounts, particularly from pilots, Air Force guys, and immediately the government's come out and say, no, you just saw whatever, and I don't know, something, whatever. This paranoia that the world will go crazy if we find out there is extraterrestrial life. Why would pilots lie? Why would, you know, captains of these big planes lie?
I don't think they're lying. I think they've seen something. I have no doubt they've seen that it is an unidentified flying object. If the fact that we don't know what it is makes it unidentifiable. But to me, it's in the same
box. Yeah, we'd have to call them identifiable flying objects, wouldn't we?
to me, Phil, all of these things are in the same box as robot overlords, you know, all the things that we think are going to happen when technology takes over the world. Mm. They're all in this box of incredibilities that some of us believe have more reality than others. It's not the world that I want to live in. And yes, I mean, I'd love there to be UFO. Literally, I'd be the first one to knock on their door and say hello. But I just don't think they're there. Or if they are, they're definitely not in the guise that you and I could send them a WhatsApp or an email to.
I'm interested here because you say, I think that if so-and-so does exist, it's not going to be how we know it. But, I mean, what tends to make you think that? Because obviously you've got zero evidence. Or maybe you
absolutely
do, Morris.
I have not zero evidence. I have absolutely no credibility in this conversation whatsoever.
No,
absolutely, Phil, because none of us know the answer to this. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're not putting on airs, but nobody knows the answer to this. Otherwise, there would be an answer. But the reality for me is that I just don't see that how the conditions that were on Earth, in other words, from what we understand of how humans came about and all of the animals, all of the creatures on this planet, they all required the Earth, the rotation, they required the Big Bang, they required many, many things, our gravity, to make us who we are and what we are. And my belief is that I doubt that there were another set of circumstances that were identical to this somewhere else on the planet would have caused other beings to come about in exactly the same way. So I'm not necessarily doubting that something exists, but I just don't think it's us. It just doesn't make sense that there's a complete replica of us somewhere else. There might be something else that came about, that has had an evolution, that has some kind of thinking or whatever is attached to it, and that might exist. But again, what are humans anyway? I mean, this is a really interesting conversation.
It's so interesting that I've got to stop now and go to the news. If you want to find out more about this space community, Asgardia it's called. Morris, we'll carry on next week. Always fun talking to you. That's Morris Misolowski there in Melbourne.